Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today I want to cover a topic which I've covered in several different podcasts, actually, in different ways. But I wanted to talk about the difference, I guess, between post-exertional malaise, crashes, setbacks, flares, and just the natural change in our energy and capacity that comes with life, whether we are a healthy human being or a human being who's navigating some sort of illness challenge. I know I've spoken about these concepts in previous episodes. So if you haven't already listened to episode 16, I talk about post-exertional malaise. Episode 15, I talk about how to manage crashes, flares, and setbacks. Episode 97 is just words of wisdom if you are going through some crashes, flares, or setbacks. I talk a little bit about monitoring progress in relation to these symptoms in episode 68. And I talk a little bit about minimizing the impact of the menstrual cycle on crashes, flares, and setbacks in episode 87. So there are lots of episodes already where I talk about crashes, setbacks, and flares. But what I wanted to cover today was to approach this from a slightly different angle, which is talking about the difference between them, and then how perhaps being able to understand the difference between them can maybe change how we approach them from a more psychological or emotional perspective, and how we then navigate them from a nervous system perspective, but also navigate them practically in terms of our self-care. And this is something I've been reflecting on a little bit. I got back from holiday a couple of weeks ago. I think I've spoken about a little bit on the podcast already, but it was a surfing holiday. It was very physically intense, coupled with heat and humidity, which was wonderful, but also stressful on the body. And then traveling back after the holiday, 24 hours of travel, you know, a van, a plane, another plane, a coach, a taxi ride to get home, and then jet lag, and then that kind of jolt of like getting back into work. It's actually been a lot on my system, and I've noticed that I've been feeling a lot more tired recently, and just that my exercise capacity hasn't been as high as what it was previously. When I was doing all the surfing, I was feeling great. I felt like my fitness was improving. I felt like I was getting stronger and stronger every session. But now, since coming back, I'm no longer surfing. I'm going back to my gym routine, which I took a break from while I was out in Sri Lanka surfing. And I'm definitely noticing, even with stripping my workouts back to 30 minutes or 40 minutes versus an hour, and doing less volume for, you know, the number of reps and sets that I'm doing, I'm still finding that it's taking me quite a few days to recover after my workouts, and just generally feeling more tired as a consequence. And so I've been reflecting on this and thinking, well, if this is not a crash, this is not post-exertional malaise, this doesn't feel like a setback, it's not a flare, I'm not experiencing a flare-up in my symptoms, but it just kind of feels like life. You know, in life, things happen. And if we think of this idea of a dial, where we like, sometimes we can turn the dial up and we can do more, and sometimes we turn the dial down and we do less to accommodate for other things that are going on in life. And this just feels more like a little bit of a turning down on the dial after very much turning up the dial to go away and have this trip, which was very meaningful and important to me for various different reasons. So I thought we could just dig into each of these concepts, though, like having like, how did I go through the process of like eliminating this is not a crash, this is not post-exertional malaise, this is not a setback, this is not a flare. How did I get to the point where I could acknowledge, oh, this is just life, and then move through this mini season, I guess, that I'm in with that understanding that all I need to do is just turn down the dial. So that's what I'd like to elaborate further on in this episode. If you haven't left a review already for the podcast, I would really appreciate it if you can take 30 seconds out of your listening time to just leave a review. I do believe on Spotify, you can just leave a 5-star rating. I think it's the same on iTunes, and you can also leave a little written paragraph on iTunes if you feel inspired to do that. I'm not sure how easy it is to do on apps and whatnot if you want to leave a paragraph, but definitely online, it might be a little bit easier to do. And then when you've just taken a moment to do that, you can come back and listen, and we will talk about crashes, post-exertional malaise, setbacks, flares, and life. So where I think is a good place to start is to start talking about post-exertional malaise. So as I said already, I've done a full episode on post-exertional malaise. It's episode number 16. If you haven't already listened to it and you'd like to, you can literally just search for that episode number 16. Or I know I use Spotify, so I know you can just search for specific keywords within the feed. So if you search for PEM, it won't come up. But if you search for post-exertional malaise, it will come up, and then you can listen to that. But ultimately, post-exertional malaise is an increase in symptoms, whether that's fatigue or symptoms that go hand in hand with your fatigue picture, whether that's pain or headaches or digestive issues or some other things, rashes or, you know, whatever it might be that you experience. It will be an increase in those symptoms within hours or days of some sort of exertion. And that could be a physical exertion, it could be a mental exertion, it could also be an emotional exertion. And very often it's not just one exertion, it's usually the fact that you did a little bit more and there was an increase in the mental demands and an increase of emotional demands, and too many things came at once. Sometimes, you know, on a single day, but also sometimes a build up of maybe 3 days. And then you would get some malaise or an increase in response after that. And in some cases, this can be a normal, in air quotes, response to you gently expanding your baseline. I know when I was in the earlier stages of my journey and I was looking to introduce exercise back into my routine, sometimes I would get a little bit of post-exertional malaise after a workout, but it would feel manageable. I could still do the things that were part of my regular routine without being too disrupted by the malaise. And then when I repeated the same workout at the same intensity for the same duration the second time, it was almost like my body was like, oh yeah, this is fine, we can do this. And then I didn't experience the malaise the second time round. So I think sometimes people think that they must never have any malaise ever. And then what that can potentially do is create a lot of fear in the nervous system around that experience. So whereas the post-exertional malaise can sometimes just be like a little, call it like a little nudge or a little prod, when you have a more of a syndromal pattern in your nervous system, then, you know, that can be like a normal part of the healing experience, is to get these little episodes of malaise. And if we can just embrace them and just welcome them and meet them and be like, okay, this is happening, but it's all right, it's not too extreme, I can still continue with my day, there's a lot less charge and anxiety and hypervigilance around it. And this means it's easier for us to move forward. However, on the other side of this experience is sometimes post-exertional malaise is a warning sign. It is an indicator like, this was too much. You did too much too soon. This is overwhelming. And this is often when the symptoms might be heightened to the point where you do have to adjust your baseline to accommodate. And that could also be, you know, in a bigger circumstance, trigger an energy crash. I can just hear my cat meowing in the background. So you may hear a few little meows coming through. He's probably playing with his worm box again. So lost my train of thought there, but basically just saying that, you know, post-exertional malaise can happen. It can be mild. It is to be expected and embraced and not necessarily welcomed, but just like understood, shall we say. Whereas we can get extreme post-exertional malaise, which can really kind of debilitate us. That's the post-exertional malaise we do want to avoid, but it is feedback in terms of we did too much, we expanded too quickly, we expanded too far, and then we need to kind of strip things back and then go again, maybe at a lower level. So that's post-exertional malaise. I think what makes post-exertional malaise different to a crash is it's probably shorter duration, less intensity. What makes it different to a flare, because when we experience post-exertional malaise, we'll get like a mild flare up in symptoms. But again, it's like shorter duration, lower intensity. And there are no clear-cut boundaries. There's no way to be like, that's definitely post-exertional malaise and that's definitely a flare. I think overall, it's just about the sense that you get in your body and how you relate to your body as a whole. And you may have heard me say previously on the podcast is that healing happens when we're able to connect with our body and attune to our needs. And that is part of the healing journey. So if you feel really confused about what's happening in your body, that's okay. It's just a sign that perhaps there's more connection that you need to build gently over time, more attunement that needs to be built gently over time. And you can always, if you need help with that, join the Nurturing Resilience subscription, which is my nervous system program for people with chronic illness. It's really affordable for £39 a month. You can start straight away. You get access to the course curriculum and monthly group calls with myself. We just had our first group call last week, which will be probably 6 or 7 or 8 weeks ago by the time this podcast gets published. And it was just really amazing. Really great. I think people found it so helpful just to like really chat through some of the challenges that are coming up to them as they're navigating the nervous system work and just really bond together as a community as well. That should hopefully wrap up the post-exertional malaise understanding. And just to repeat myself and say that the difference between post-exertional malaise and a crash or a flare is that it's just shorter in intensity and duration. And that's probably true for setbacks as well. It is a setback of sorts, perhaps, but it's just a shorter and less intense setback. The next thing we can maybe talk about is a crash. How do we know when we're in a crash? And the way that I think about a crash is that it can be like a drastic and sudden change in capacity, because that's what a crash is. If you think about like a car crash, it's fast and it's aggressive. So there's like a point where you're going along and then you kind of fall off the cliff. And this is where I was saying it's different to post-exertional malaise because of the duration. It lasts for longer, not just a day or 5 days. It lasts, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, however many weeks. The change from your baseline is quite significant. So it is ultimately a change in our capacity. It can be acute, like maybe just a shorter crash where you kind of really experience a change in your symptoms, but then you're out of it in like a week or two. Or it could be something chronic when you feel that there's this like long-term crashy energy, which is ongoing. And by crashy energy, what I'm really talking about is instability. And to kind of understand this, again, talking about the connection with the body, is the instability energy is like, it just feels like you just don't have your ground, that you just like can't get on top of things. It just feels like everything is spiraling or out of control. There's just like no sense of safety at all in the body. And so that would be a crash. A crash would be different to a setback, because a setback, as I would define it, would be, yes, a change in your capacity and a change in your baseline, which is long-term, so not short-term, like a change in baseline because you had some PM for a few days, but a change in baseline with stability. So the difference between a crash and a setback is the stability of the system. When we experience a setback, our capacity goes backwards, but we have a routine, it's predictable, there's a sense of grounding, there's less anxiety, urgency, hypervigilance, fear, freeze in the system. Whereas a crash, all of those things are showing up and we just don't know which way's up and which way's down. These things happen. Sometimes life happens and our baseline goes back. But if we've done enough work on ourselves because we know what we need to do for our self-care, we have those stabilizing factors in place, which I've talked about often, blood sugar, nervous system, sleep, routine, pacing. Then when we've got those things in place, maybe our baseline will go back because something happened in our lives. It was a big emotional challenge. You're moving home, you know, whatever might be going on. We go back in our baseline, but the stability is there. That's a setback. A crash is when we go backwards in our baseline, but the stability is absent. And that's because we haven't necessarily grounded into those stabilizing factors yet. We haven't mastered blood sugar. We haven't mastered our nervous system. We haven't mastered our routine and pacing. We haven't got our circadian rhythms in check. So we don't necessarily have the stabilizing tools built as a foundation, and that's why the crash is a crash and not a setback. That being said, sometimes we can have things that come in externally which really rock our world. That could be, for example, a viral infection, a mold exposure, a vaccination, some sort of toxin exposure. These things can come in and be inherently destabilizing. So even if we have our stabilizing tools in place, if we experience a crash because we've had some external factor come in and really initiate that cell danger response, then we're going to potentially have to provide some additional support to stabilize the body. And that might mean that we need to do extra things to support detox or like antimicrobials to eliminate microbes, you know, if you've got food poisoning or something like that. So that's where I'd say is, you know, just even if you have got all, you feel like you've mastered the stabilizing tools, there can still be things that come in and cause crashes. So I hope that helps to now start to paint a better picture of post-exertional malaise, crashes, and setbacks. The final one before I talk about life is flares. So a flare is an increase in symptoms, or at least this is how I would describe it. There might not necessarily be a change in your baseline, but you may have an increase in symptoms that run alongside your baseline. So for example, you may feel that you can kind of still get on with life, but your gut has flared up, or your joint pain has flared up, or you're getting more headaches, or you're getting more body aches. So there's some sort of symptom or cluster of symptoms which has flared up. And yes, as a consequence, you may feel a little bit more tired. Your baseline may go down a little bit, but there is a bit more stability in the system compared to a crash. But there's more symptoms in the system compared to a setback. So I hope that's not too confusing. So setbacks, I would think, would more sort of be associated with a change in baseline, but you're not more symptomatic, you just have less capacity. Whereas a flare, there's less capacity, a few more symptoms, but you're still fairly stable. You're not as destabilized as a crash. And flares can happen for various reasons. It could be, you know, maybe we were exposed to foods that we normally avoid. Maybe we went on holiday, we got a stomach bug, and our digestion isn't quite right anymore. Maybe there's been some stress which has happened, or you haven't been sleeping as well for whatever reason. And something has happened which has caused an increase in symptoms. And those increase in symptoms, they're kind of like the warning signs, I feel. They're almost just like the, hello, pay attention to me, a little bit more support required here, whether that is nervous system support to deal with the stresses, whether that's you need to go back on supplements for your gut or take foods out of your diet. They're just a request for the support that you know works for your body. And you might be listening to this and be like, I've got no idea what works for my body. But as you transition through this journey, you will start to learn the things that work for you, and you'll start to develop your N equals one care protocol, where you know what you need to do in various situations to manage the things that come up for you and the way that they come up for you. Because sometimes people are more prone to flares. Sometimes people are more prone to setbacks. Sometimes people are more prone to crashes. So we start to learn the patterns that our body expresses itself. And remembering that it's just that, it's an expression. If we can change the way we relate to our illness, we can then start to work with the body and heal through the illness, not heal from the illness. So if the body is giving us feedback through the manifestations of these crashes, the post-exertional malaise, the setbacks, the flares, we learn the rhythm and the way that our body communicates, and then we can learn how we need to respond. So that's where I kind of like to go into this in a little bit more details. How do we respond when we experience some of these different situations? And I feel like I've kind of given the answers as I've been talking about each of them. But if we were to go back to post-exertional malaise, how do we navigate post-exertional malaise? Well, usually we would experience post-exertional malaise when we've done a little bit of expansion, whether that is physical expansion, emotional expansion, mental expansion. The body, what I'm talking about when I talk about expansion, is we've just tried to do a little bit more, tried to take on a little bit more than what we had previously. And for a syndromal system, if we've been holding ourselves safe at a certain capacity, and now we've created a little bit of shift, a little bit of movement in our capacity, there's maybe going to be a little bit of like grumbling and a little bit of complaining. And because the body, in its instability, has learned to find a sense of safety, and now we're creating a little bit of movement, that instability is just going to start to like bubble up to the surface. So the body really just needs a reassurance that it's okay and everything is safe. So we want to come back to this idea of stability. I'll probably sound like a broken record, but we want to stabilize. And we want to, if we've just had a little bit of mild post-exertional malaise, probably want to just take some time to stabilize our body, nervous system, stabilize physiology, and then maybe try again. Maybe just try the same thing again and see if the body responds in the same way. Just like I described to you how when I was expanding my exercise capacity, the first time I did something, I would get a bit more malaise, but then the second time it was okay. However, if you've had kind of a bigger, more significant post-exertional malaise, then we maybe need to stabilize and try less. Try 50%, try 25%, even just try 10% of what you did before. Maybe you do get a little bit of post-exertional malaise, but it's more in that manageable category. Then you can stabilize, try the same again, see if you get less of a response, and then gradually build up. So that's post-exertional malaise. In terms of a crash, remember I said that with crashes, we have this change in baseline, but it's very unstable. So for crashes, it's about stability, 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 blood sugar, nervous system, routine and pacing, sleep and circadian rhythms. And if the crashes come from an infection or a toxic exposure or something like that, we need to also have functional medicine protocols and practices which support us to move through that piece of the puzzle. And then in terms of a setback being the long-term change in your baseline, but there's stability there, really what we just need is patience. If you're stable, but your baseline is lower, you really just need to keep on doing what you're doing, what I call the chop wood, carry water, and then just gradually, as the body feels safe, to begin to expand and begin to build up again. Maybe if there has been a setback because there's an emotional stressor, there's a change in circumstance, you've changed jobs, you've gone back to work, you're moving home, you know, all the different things that could happen. we need to maybe just give some space for the nervous system and for the body to adjust to that change. And then when you feel really settled in the new way, the new home, the new job, whatever maybe has happened, the emotional stress is now past, you've had time to grieve a loss, whatever it might be, then we can start to expand the baseline again. And then from the flare, which is more of an increase in symptoms, often experienced maybe because we've done too much, but also maybe because we've been exposed to something. So we've got an increase in symptoms, maybe a change in baseline in response to that increase in symptoms, but we're fairly stable. Then what we want to do is use our self-care toolbox to tend to those symptoms in the best way that we know how. Go back on the elimination diet, take the probiotics, do the antimicrobial protocol, do more of the nervous system work. Whatever you know is in your toolbox that supports you to feel better, we might just need to dial that a little bit. Then the final thing here is what I was talking about at the very beginning of the podcast, which is there's also an adjustment for life. I talked about my holiday and that it was quite physically intense, intensity of travel and jet lag, coming back to work and just like getting my cognitive function back online again, you know, and then experiencing a bit more fatigue and a less exercise capacity at this moment in time. And I don't feel that, you know, you could argue maybe it's a setback because it's a change in baseline. But I don't feel it's a drastic enough change in baseline to be called a setback. And it's also not gone on for that long yet, I hope. It's about 2.5 weeks since I got back from my holiday. So sometimes life happens. And as a response to life happening, we need to adjust. Normal, healthy humans don't rigidly do the same thing all the time. They might go through periods of going to the gym more or socializing more and working more. And then something happens and they're like, oh, I just can't do as much gym as what I used to because my attention is now going to this work project or whatever might be happening. So normal, healthy humans have changes in their activity levels and capacity too. It's not pathological. It's just part of being a human being. And so I think sometimes there can be a lot of judgment when we're experiencing any of these things, whether it's a crash or PM, setback, flare, or just a change in baseline because of life. We can judge ourselves very harshly and be like, I did this. It's my fault. When will I ever learn? Or frustration, I can't believe I've gone backwards, I wanted to go forwards, hopelessness, oh no, this again. And so here I would just say that all of that negative self-talk is not helping you move forward. That's not to say we just bypass it and ignore the voices. We need to hear those voices and just be like, hey, I hear you, but this is life. This happens. I see you did that. You see you've crashed again. Maybe this is an encouragement to work more on my stabilizing. Oh no, I got some PEM, but at least I tried. What have I learned from this? Okay, had some symptoms flare up. Where am I dropping the ball in terms of my self-care? So there's just, if we can come at, you know, to these places from a place of just understanding, compassion, and curiosity, we're going to A, learn more about how to take care of ourselves, and B, move forward and progress our journey so much faster than we would if we were beating ourselves with a stick, and C, the whole process is much more enjoyable. Not that we should really have to enjoy recovering from a chronic illness, but we're here. We're in this situation. So we can make it easier or we can make it harder. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather it was easier. And if I can make it easier by being kinder to myself, then that's the choice that I would like to make. So I hope you have found this episode helpful. Maybe it's given you a little bit of an insight into just where you're at right now, what your patterns are, what you experience, and what are the areas that you need to work on a little bit more as a consequence. And as I said at the very beginning of the episode, if you would like to explore some of this in more detail from different angles. There are several episodes which I'll link in the show notes, which could be helpful. One of which is episode 68, where I talk about managing progress or evaluating your progress, because you know, less crashes, less flares is a sign of progress. They still happen, but we have less of them. If they're less intense, if their duration is shorter, that's also a sign of progress. So maybe once you've listened to this episode, going on to 68 could be helpful. But I also talk about managing crashes, flares, and setbacks in 15, words of wisdom in 97, post-exertional malaise in 16, and minimizing crashes and flares around your menstrual cycle in 87. So I hope that has given you plenty of work to do. Not that I want you to work too hard, but if you need more resources and support, it's all there for you. And I will see you in the next episode.